Welcome to the Shir Shem Yishmol Parshas Hazino. I wanted to start with a piece tonight that is at the very end of all of the Shem Yishmol's pieces in Hazino. It's Shnas Tov Resh Pei Aleph, which again is 1920. Yarov Kamatar Likhi, right? In the beginning of the Shir Hazino, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Yarov Kamatar Likhi Tizal Katalim Rossi. My lekach, my teaching should come down like the rain. This Sifri, Ein Arifa Elo Hariga, Kemo Shekosta V'Arfu Sham Es Ha'Egla. The Sifri makes an unusual drasha on this pasuk. Ya'arof, the simple pshat is my teaching of Torah should come down like the rain. But the Sifri comments that Ya'arof is also related to the word Arifa, which we find in the context of Egla Arufa, where that calf is decapitated. So Ya'arof is the lashon of Hariga, of killing. In other words, if one were to interpret the pasuk in this fashion, Ya'arof kamatar likhi, let my teaching kill just like the rain. Which, of course, is a bizarre translation. What do you mean, Ya'arof kamatar likhi? Talk about a killer Dvar Torah, but I don't know if that's, if it's meant to be applied in the literal sense. Yeah. Right, exactly. No, that's to decapitate. Right, the Egla Arufa. Right? So that's exactly what the Sifri is saying. Ya'arof kamatar likhi. The lashon of Ya'arof is a lashon of Arifa, of killing, of decapitating, taking off the head. So my lekach, my teaching, should be Oref. It should kill. It should take off the head. Which, again, is a sort of bizarre thing to say. So how do you understand that? So, to explain that, the Shem Yishmol goes a little bit far afield, and we'll see he comes back to this point. Nira lefarish, didei masha Torah nikreis lekach. Why is the Torah called lekach altogether? Ki lekach tov nosati lochem torasi al ta'azov. Lekach is a teaching. But how does that term apply to Torah? So the Shem Yishmol quotes from his father, he gid kvokat kedushas avi admar zeichet tzadik levracha, Mishum shemeviyah to'elas la'adam kimisas shulokeach es dvar Torah. In beregesh hanefesh upnimiyos halev nichnesas gamken lepnimiyuso v'divrei Torah nevloin v'domo. Says the Shem Yishmol, quoting his father, the Avnei Nezer, the reason Torah is called lekach is because you get out what you put in. To the extent to which you're lokeach, you take to heart. Lakachas means to take. To the extent to which one is lokeach, to the extent to which one takes the divrei Torah and makes them yours and instills them in yourself, so to that extent, Torah is going to have an impact on you, right? Conversely, if a person learns Torah, learns it as an academic exercise, but doesn't, he's not lokeach the divrei Torah, he doesn't take the words of Torah to heart, so for that person, Torah will remain knowledge, but it won't have the kind of impact on his personality and his spirituality which it potentially could have if he were to just take it in the right way. So in other words, Divrei Torah is not just knowledge, it's not just pieces of information. It's something that a person has to be lokeach, that he has to take to heart. That's the Avnei Nezer says pshat in the idea that lekach means Divrei Torah. However, thank you. Says the Shem Yishmol, I want to give a different pshat, and this pshat is actually very relevant for this time of year, which again is not surprising since Hazino is always read this time of year. V'nira od loma shedivrei Torah magbien es ha'adam. An alternative pshat why divrei Torah are called lekach is because they uplift a person. Ki lekicha hi loshen hagba'ah. Because we find that the loshen of being lokeach something, taking, can also mean to lift something. Where do we find that? The mitzvah of lulav and esrog. How is the mitzvah of lulav and esrog expressed in the Torah? You should take for yourselves on the first day of Sukkot the lulav and esrog. And the Gemara tells us in Masechet Sukkot that from the
All you have to do in order to be yotzei the mitzvah is to be magbia, to pick up the lulav and esrog. So we see that picking up is considered to be a part of the definition of lekicha, right? So in other words, the person is lokeach something. It means he lifts it up. That's Yiddish. Yeah. Right. I mean, maybe there's some kind of connection between lekach in Hebrew and lekach in Yiddish, but lekach in Yiddish is also written with a chaf.
I gave right. you good something to eat. Torah, see, it's my Torah.
Yeah.
Eat into it.
Right. Chassidus Shukshat. Right. Yeah. Which I guess we're learning Shem Shvul. You know, you can't machavek, but that's how it works in a shtibul. Ki lekach tov nosati lochem. I gave you cake. Torosi el tazavu. Sit and learn. Right. So that's. But I'm not sure if that's the pshat from a Hebrew perspective. The al karcha how the divrei Torah mechaprin haynu shemagbien es ha'adam imekomo. We find that Torah has the ability to be mechaper, to atone for a person. But the atonement of Torah, says the Shem Yishmol, is different than the atonement of other types of kapara. Let's say a person brings a karbon, right, to be mechaper for a particular avera. The way the karbon works, the Shem Yishmol would say, is that the karbon wipes away the avera. I'm still the same person, but, you know, kapara is a lashon of wiping away. The karbon wipes away the avera, and it's as if it wasn't there. Torah is different. When a person learns Torah, says the Shem Yishmol, it's that the person himself is lifted up and put in a different place so that the avera is no longer attached to him. Imagine, if you will, that, you know, the avera is not on us ourselves, it's on some kind of, you know, covering that's attached to us. So you could either erase it from the covering, or you could pick the person up so that the covering is no longer enveloping him. You know, he's above the covering, right? He's not affected by it anymore. For who can in Mashakosav HaRambam, B'tam Shinoi Hashem, Kilu Eino Oso Ha'isha Oso Oson HaMa'asim, V'od Yosem Yizek Kamuvon. In a sense, the atoning power of Torah, says the Shem Yishmol, is analogous to what the Rambam writes in Hilchos Tshuva, that there's an idea in Tshuva of Shinoi Hashem, that a person changes his name. You know, what does that do? In other words, I went and I didn't daven mincha. So now, when I didn't daven mincha, I was Bob, and now I'm Fred. What's the, so that's gonna somehow take away the fact that I didn't daven mincha? You know, in a certain sense, says the Rambam, if I change my name, I become a different person. So in other words, it's not that I've erased the sin so much, but I've changed my personality. I've become a different persona. And as such, that person who did the original sin is not me anymore. In a similar sense, says the Rambam, when a person, says the Shem Yishmol, when a person learns Torah, they lift themselves up. They lift themselves out of their former reality. They become a different person. They are in a different place. And the sins that they committed previously just simply no longer envelop them in that sense of the term. Uvezeh yuvan ma'amar ha-shas Rosh Hashanah Yud-Ches Im yiz-kafir avon beis eili bizdevach u-mincha Bizevach u-mincha eino miz-kafir mishum shuhu zardim shi-eish imo shvua avon miz-kafir hu b'torah. So the Shem Yishmol quotes the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, which, says the Shem Yishmol, on the surface is difficult to understand. The Pasuk says in Shmuel that because of the sins of the two sons of Eli, the Kohen Gadol, Chofni and Pinchas, so the sin, there's going to be a stain on the house of Eli, on his entire family line, which is going to run throughout the generations, and even Karbonos are not going to be able to erase the stain from the base Eli. This stain of sin is going to remain with their children forever, and it's going to contribute to a lack of longevity in the family line of the base Eli. So comes the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, while it's true that Karbanos are not going to be able to erase the sin of base Eli, but Torah can. Torah has the ability to erase even these sins where HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you know, the sin of the base Eli is never going to be niskaper, it's never going to be atoned for. You know, parentheses, unless somebody who's a descendant of the base Eli learns Torah. And the Gemara goes on to quote examples of people who learned Torah, who were descendants of base Eli, and were able to, you know, to overcome the gzeira. V'lechora eino muvan, my ulma de Torah neged hashvuah. Okay, so, you know, it's a good thing that there's an escape hatch, you know, it's a good thing that there's such a thing as Limud HaTorah that can, you know, kind of get around the oath that the Ribbono Shel Olam took to always, you know, to never forgive the sin of the base Eli. But how does that work? I mean, if their sin was so terrible and God swore that their sin is never going to be forgiven, so how does Torah work to undo that sin? So, Ach Yesh Lomar, to try to understand the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, says the Shem Yishmuel, let's go back to the idea which we just developed a moment ago. In other words, that Torah's ability to be mechaper is not simply that it erases the sin, it raises the person up so they're no longer in that original place, and the sins which may have been part of their former existence no longer attach themselves to them. That can help us understand the power of kapara vis-a-vis the base Eli as well. Ach yesh lomer the kapara huloshen kinuach v'hasara. Right? Kapara means to wipe something away. V'alzeh hois l'shvuah shlo yasiris ha'avonos l'shlichem b'mitzulos yam. When God swore that the sins of the base Eli are never going to be niskaper, right? And as the Lashon of the Pasuk is, that im yiskaper avon based Eli, the sins of based Eli are never going to achieve kapara. Literally, what that means is the sins are never going to be wiped away. Again, kapara means it's going to be wiped, right? The sins are never going to be wiped away. But the kapara of Torah works in a totally different way, says the Shem Yishmuel. It doesn't wipe away the averos; it lifts the person up over the averos. And the shvuah simply never applied to that approach, to that avenue of getting around the averos. So somehow, in other words, in a sense, the person leaves Torah, learns Torah, he leaves the averos behind. They're part of some former existence, and they have no connection to him at this point anymore. V'alkein v'divrei Torah miskafrin u'mimelo kasher ha'ish nasa mugba ve'eino avonos yecholin liyos lehem negiyabo. Once the averos no longer envelop the person, because the person through Limud HaTorah has just distanced himself from those averos, the averos, literally, he says, they lose their vitality. They lose their ability to attach themselves to the person and to bring the person down. They have no vitality anymore. Makes a very interesting statement. He says, what feeds our averos? He says, we ourselves. The lashon he uses is very interesting. The chiyus of avonos, that which gives vitality to sins, is meha adam atzma, right? It comes from, you know, the vitality of sin comes from the man himself. Shemotzitzin es lishad chiyusa, they suck on the breast of his own vitality. What does that mean, right? So we generate our own averos. In other words, you know, let's say we have a, you know, we have a particular fondness for Avera X, right? In other words, my eyes go to places they're really not supposed to go, right? In other words, I have a fondness for a certain type of Avera. So my fondness for this Avera feeds upon myself because I fall prey to this Avera. I'm satisfied by it. I have a craving for more. And in a sense, the more I'm involved in the Avera, the more it generates more Averas.
I'm listening to what's powerful about it. To me, it's a kind of medical metaphor. It's like a malignancy.
Yeah.
A malignancy feeds on the vitality and saps the vitality of the person himself.
Oh, that's a very nice metaphor. In other words,
Terrifying. But I think, as I'm understanding your explanation, working with that type of imagery.
Right. And this, it comes from within. You know, the same way that in a medical sense it comes from within.
It will take over you.
Right.
Or it will die if you transcend it or if you are taken away from it.
Oh, so yeah. So let's follow up on that last point then. Right. So sins that are a part of me feed on me and are generated, are perpetuated through their connection to me. But what if somehow I could be somewhere else? What if somehow, you know, again, to use the medical example, let's say, you know, medically the doctors could wave their wands, you know, and take me off the operating table and leave the malignancies behind. Right, if such a thing were possible, maybe there's a form of medicine in which it is possible. I don't know, right? But let's imagine that somehow you could break that connection between the sin and the person by moving the person somewhere else, not just by erasing the sin. Because again, if the sin generates in my own body, so as much as I erase it, it's just going to come back. But what if I could move me in a different place? So he says, "Zer shebis sifri ein arifa ela hariga." Let's go back to the original point with which he started. Yarov kamotar likhi. My lekach, my Torah learning, will kill like the rain. Yarov says the Sifri is the lashon of arifa, just like the egla arufa, just like the calf which is decapitated, you know, as described in the Chumash. And again, we ask the question, what do you mean? Yarov kamotar likhi. You know, Torah is going to kill? I mean, that seems like a very scary kind of idea. What is Torah killing? Torah is decapitating much in the same way that the Eglah itself is subjected to Arifa. Hainuki Arifas ha'Eglah hu shekotzis bekupis me'acharof. Right? How you decapitate the Eglah, the calf, they take an axe, and from the back of the neck, they basically decapitate the head. What's the metaphor of decapitating? The metaphor of decapitating is to separate the head from its source of life. Shaguf Moshe Chayim Me'arosh, to separate the body from the head. The body draws life and vitality from the head. Ayidei Chut HaShedra, through the spine. Shaholech Me'arosh. When you decapitate anything, a person, an animal, whatever it is, it severs the source of life from the body. That's what we mean. That's what the Sifri means when it says Yarov Kamotar Likhi, that Torah is going to kill. What does Torah kill? Torah kills the sins. It doesn't just erase the sins. Torah doesn't bring about kapara. Torah, so to speak, takes the patient off the operating table, cuts away the malignancies so that they no longer attach themselves to the body, and puts the person in a totally different place. Again, as we said before, lekach is miloshen harama, to be magbia. Lekach means that you lift the person up. Torah study has the ability of transforming the person and severing whatever connection he might have formerly had to those sins. So those sins are not going to grow back because the person himself has been transformed through the act of limud haTorah. That's he explains. That's how the Beis Eli were able to overcome through Limud HaTorah the Shvuah, the oath, which had been honored by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that descendants of the Beis Eli would never have kapara. Yeah, they would never have sins erased. That's true. But through Limud HaTorah, you can put yourself in a totally different place where it's oreif, where it cuts off the connection to the sins of your former past and allows you to start anew. In a sense, it's a beautiful thought for the beginning of a new year. I mean, here we are. Mimachras Yom HaKippurim, you know, the day after Yom Kippur. After Yom Kippur, we in many ways have become new people. We're not the same people that we were. Erev Yom HaKippurim. Essentially, the Shem Shmuel is saying, through Limud HaTorah, we have the power to effectuate a Yom Kippur every single day of the year. We have that ability to remake ourselves such that the past, you know, the malignancies of the past are no longer going to apply to us in that kind of way. Right? So that's a beautiful thought that the Shem Yishmor shares. Let me start another thought.
How do you explain the second part?
So he actually, you know, the Shem Yishmor would say variants of similar Torahs from year to year. So he has this is a shorter version of this particular piece. He has a longer piece from earlier. Where he talks about the idea of Tau. Let me just see if I can find it. So this is on page Resh Mem. It's a little bit earlier. It's a piece from Tov Resh Ayin Ches, you know, 1917. Fi ha'omer yesh lefarish shir hakosuv yarof kamotar likhi tizal katalim rosti. Okay, so what about the second half of the pasuk, right? Shelley's kasha. Dinei yodua tefu'ulas hatal hu le'orer lachus atzmis. Shreitipos hatal olin lekras hachamo. The Einonish Oros Mehen Bizroim, Elo de Baini Baini Oruas Lachus Hazroim Shebohem Be'etzem. The role of Tau, of Du, says the Shem Yishmoel, is to ignite your inner powers and your inner strengths. He says that's the role of Du in a biological sense. It causes the grass, you know, the lachus, the moisture within the grass, to become strong and to become powerful. The role of Tau, so to speak, the metaphor of Tau within a person, is to awaken his inner strength. You know, things that you have that you didn't know that you had. It enables you to access those parts of yourself which may be buried and, you know, you thought were inaccessible. You didn't even realize that you had them. So, Achol Ot Shekochas Achistaro Moses Tinnus Lishar Chiyus Lo Kanal Eino Mo'ilo His Orus Achiyus Shor Elachis Lichitzonim V'zeh Sh'oma Yarov Kamotar Likhi V'reisho Sh'ulosh M'hariga L'kochas Achitzonim Achar Kach Tizal Katalim Rosti. He says the following pshat. We just explained Yarov Kamotar Likhi means that Divrei Torah, you know, kill the sins and the connection that sin has to you, right? It's a sur meira, in a sense. You know, it's annihilating that which is negative, putting you in a totally different place. Yarov kamotar likhi, I'm lifted up by the Torah, I no longer have the connection to those malignancies. Now that I'm free, so tizal katal imrosi, let my words, the words of Torah, act like tal upon the person to let him discover within himself his inner strengths and allow those to come out and come to fruition. Right? So it's equally, maybe even more beautiful, you know, interpretation of the second half of the pasuk. A person first has to put himself in a different place when he's looking to reform himself, but then once he does so, you know, he has the opportunity to allow his inner strength to be discovered and to come out in such a way that that is going to be helpful. Yeah. I mean, Geshem.
You don't need a lot, just a little bit to
right.
do that for you once you go to
right. Right. I mean, Motar, you know, has the ability to be destructive. I mean, you know, Florida and the Carolinas, you know, case in point, unfortunately, right? I mean, heavy rain can be incredibly destructive. That's why Yarov Kamotar Likhi, the Moshel, you know, the interpretation of Yarov is Harigo, something destructive, is so apt, but not appropriate for Tal for the second half of the pasuk.
I just heard something today too, that it's like opposite words almost.
It's
100% definitely true. 100%. Okay, we'll save the second Torah from the Shem Yishuvah Be'ezus Hashem for after Ma'ariv. M'chanan b'rakasha omer rostak on Yisborchu l'zakos this Yisrael l'fikach kir b'lohem Torah mitzvahs shenemar Adonai. Welcome to part two of the Shem Yishuvah Parshas Hazino. So this is a Torah from Tofresh Ayin Ches, again 1917, page Resh Mem for those who have it. Zechariah Mos Olam Binu Shnos Dor Vador. Again, in the Shira Tazino, it says, remember the days of old and think about the years of generation to generation. Right? Pashat of Pshat, you know, reflect upon history. Right? But the Shem Yishuvah gives an interesting twist on what this pasuk means exactly. Nir Lefarish Al Pi Divrei Ibn Ezra, the Shem Shana Nigzar Miloshen Shinui. Ibn Ezra comments that the word shana, year, is related to the word shinoi, a change. Because after all, every year is different than the previous year. So in other words, that's the etymology of the word shana. It's related to the idea of shinoi. So with that in mind, says the Shem Yishuvah, let's take a new look at the pasuk. V'nei yodua o d'chol dor nivchan rak mitzad ahipuch. We know that in life in general, you can only really discern something fully when comparing it with its opposite. Ula mashal, im lo haya choshech ba'olam, lo haya sanikeres ma'alas ha'or, v'chein lehipuk, im lo haya or ba'olam, lo haya noda ro'as ha'choshech. You can only really appreciate light when you have darkness. You can only really appreciate darkness, you know, or the evil of darkness when you have light. In other words, everything comes into bold relief in contrast to its opposite. V'cheinu be'inyan mahus hadoros. Im lohayu doros tovim bali deo midas taharas ba'olam, lohayston ikeres bechistus dor tahar be'enov umitzoasa lorochas. Were it not for generations, the existence of generations, in which the people were tzaddikim, people of depth, people of understanding, were not for the existence of such generations, we wouldn't be able to really appreciate how far we've fallen from those generations. In other words, if every generation throughout time, if it was a flat line, that every generation was suffused with, you know, terrible midos and lack of understanding and the like, we wouldn't really have a basis of comparison. It's only once we know that there were generations that were once great that we can appreciate the fact that perhaps our generation needs some work. That's what the pasuk begins by saying, remember the days of old. So the Gemara comments, if the earlier generations were like angels, so we are simply like human beings. If they were like human beings, we are like donkeys. Ushneim emes uvedaris mischalfim sheishdarish ayu kamalachim kafei erech darish leachareim shnechshavim kibnei adam v'alken yishmakom lekvarul darosenu bnei adam yishdarish ayu nechshavim kibnei adam mikomakom kasher naarichem leumas darosenu uchrachim lama shanu kichamarim. In other words, you know, relatively speaking, we look at the earlier generations and we realize whatever madrega they were on, we realize our inferiority relative to them. Ach ha'arochas doroseinu le'umas ha'kodmen, af shezos levad mevi'a to'elas shiluchol ha'pochos yoda shechostar lo mishleimus ha'enoshis lo yachocham v'tzadik be'enab k'mo shechostav hinen nishpat osoch al imrucho lo chatosi. Ach ein ze maspik Elo od tzrichim lesbonen b'shinoi hadoros madua nishtana ulechapis achar hasibo shehevi'o lezeh. So he says as follows. Zechariah Masa'ola means contemplate the fact that it isn't as good as it was in the good old days, right? Essentially, in other words, previous generations were on a higher level of closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a higher level of spirituality. Realize that, you know, that it's not the way it used to be. But to simply say things aren't the way they used to be is not necessarily so productive. In other words, sometimes, you know, you find this among people. What I would give, you know, if only you knew how it was in the good old days. And they sigh, and they give a little bit of a moan, and then they move on. You know, it's kind of like just nostalgia for the sake of nostalgia. And the Shem Yishmael is saying, you know, nostalgia for its own sake is not really so productive, right? So what do you do with that nostalgia? What's that? Right. Well, what do you do with that nostalgia? Okay, so good. So it's not like it was in the good old days, right? So what? Okay, we can't recapture the good old days. No, a person has to look at why it's not like the good old days, and to try to analyze and figure out why things may not be the way they used to be in the good old days. The English flows has si bodavka b'roshi alfe Yisrael. Don't just blame it on the leadership, right? Oh, in the good old days we used to have real leaders. Now we don't really have real leaders. So now that we've blamed it all on the leaders, so now all the followers can go and do whatever they want, because, you know, it's all the leaders' fault. If we had real leadership the way we used to in the good old days, you know, we'd be in a much better position. Okay, good. So it's this symbiotic relationship. The generation gets the leaders that it deserves, and the leaders get the generation that they deserve. Right? But good. But, you know, looking at pointing fingers at other people is not going to correct the situation. If you really want to make nostalgia into something productive, look at the subtle changes that have taken place from one generation to the next, and realize that it's those subtle changes that are oftentimes responsible for what ends up being a sea change at the end of the day. And if you can identify some kind of subtle change which has been detrimental and has led in some small way to a sea change, see if you can correct that small, seemingly insignificant change. That's what the pasuk means. Zecharya most olam, remember the way that it used to be in the good old days. Binu shenos dor vador. Again, as we started off, Ibn Ezra says the word shana is from the word shinoi. So whereas we normally would have translated binu shenos dor vador, look at the years of generation to generation. The way the Shem Yishmael wants us to interpret the pasuk is contemplate the minor changes that have taken place from generation to generation. In those minor changes, you'll find the key to where we are different than the generations that came before. There's a lot that Adkan. That's the end of the Torah. I think there's a lot of food for thought. I'll point out one thing which I think is very interesting. The Shem Yishmael doesn't seem to take the position that we are doomed to be worse than the previous generations. He seems to be saying it's a typical reality that we're not on the level of previous generations, but if we spent enough time analyzing where we've gone off, I think he's implying that we have the ability to be machzir atara liyoshna, to bring things back to the, you know, to the previous status, because otherwise, you know, the exercise of binu shnos dar vador would be a futile one. In other words, you know, you want to contemplate, you know, what little changes have led to this generation being worse off than the previous generations. You know, okay, you can contemplate it, you can think about it, you can discover it, but then you can't do anything about it. I mean, that would seem to be an exercise in futility. The whole point of looking into the way that we've gone from the previous generations to where we are now and trying to identify the root causes, would seem to imply that we have the ability to change them, because otherwise, why try to identify these root causes?
I thought that depression has something to do with how close you were to
Har Sinai.
Har Sinai, as opposed to the way you go, you know, how close you are to the animal.
Right.
Gemara says that Rishon Kulach and Mani Kamayada, these are talking about great people over there. They said it. Why were they just saying, like, they're resigned to it too? It seems like Gemara. And now you're like the donkey of the Tzimtzum Zanyar.
Right. Right, and Ochinami, I mean, the simple pshat that Myra Chazal seems to be, this is the way it is, and deal with it, right? In other words, we're sort of resigned to that reality. But again, what I think is fascinating about the Shem Yishmol, you know, is that, again, if I'm reading him correctly, I don't think, you know, he's taking that at face value. He seems to be saying that there's what to be done. Again, maybe it doesn't mean that we can get to the status of malachim necessarily, but at least to be chamor shaber pinchas ben yoyer, you know, maybe chotch that level, you know, we're able to reach, right? Again, otherwise, the binu shnos dar vadar, you know, if it can't translate into anything practical, so then what's the point? You know, you just want to, you know, realize that we're not as great as the good old days. Okay, you know, so if there's nothing to do about it, so why waste more time contemplating that reality? Yeah.
Yeah, I think I heard the point by the Rabbi Tanya. The mindset was that we have a similar idea constantly with us. What is the secret? He says that he wants to go to Israel, he wants to, you know, go and you know, get a good yard. It's like, you know, whatever. So the Rabbi looked at him and he said, "Not to Eretz Israel." In other words, people think, you know,
Right, 100%. Okay. Okay, so I wish everyone a good year, Be'ezus Hashem. Our next installment of Shem Yishmol, actually, traditionally, I do Leil Simchas Torah. You know, that we have one sedra left, the Zos HaBracha, so typically I do a piece from whatever we're learning, Leil Simchas Torah. So everyone's invited to come back to that. And at that time, we'll reveal the mystery sefer that we'll be learning next year. I say it's a mystery sefer because at this point it's still a mystery to me. So hopefully between now and Simchas Torah, we'll be able to finalize, figure out, i.e., you know, what it is that we'll be learning next year. And Be'ezus Hashem, whatever it is, I look forward to learning it together.